are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled The Children's Prayer, is the fourth message in the series Connecting, A Study of Prayer, and is taught by Mike Cranford. For more information, visit woodbridgechurch.org.
Good morning. What a blessing to come and celebrate the Lord Jesus at his table. What a great way to start this and to focus on the Lord. My son Dylan, he came to me at the beginning of this year and said, "Dad, there's a convention I want to go to this year. It's for Minecraft. That's a creative game that a lot of kids play. Minecon," he says, "it's, you know, happens all over the world this year. It's here in Anaheim," and he said, "I'd love to go to this." And so I checked on it, and I came to him, and I said, "You know, the ticket prices for this are astronomical to get into this," and I said, "We just can't do it this year." And he said, "Okay." So then we got back from the golf retreat just last month, or in June, and we were sitting at our laptops, and I'm sitting at mine, and he's in his laptop. He's behind me. I can't see him. And I'm working, and he's talking, and he's on the website for this convention, and he's telling me about all the great things that are going to be at this convention, about the people that are going to be there speaking, and the special shows, and the free things that they're going to give away, and, you know, all the wonderful things about this convention. And then as he's talking, all of a sudden I can hear his voice shaking a little bit. So I turn and look at him, and tears are, you know, coming down his face. And you know how it is when you don't realize how much something means to someone until they just open up. And he wasn't crying, just sad, and the tears coming down his face. And I turned to him and I said, "Hey, buddy," I go, "I'm sorry, we just can't do it." And he said, "I know, it's okay." But I reached over, held out my hands, and I grabbed his hands. And I said, "One day, you and I are going to this." And he said, "Well, you know, it's all over the world." He goes, "This year just happens to be here." I said, "Hey, wherever it is, one day you and I are going." And he calmed down and smiled, looked at me. He trusts because he's loved. That's a big part of what love is. Knowing that your dreams are important to someone else, that's how much they mean to someone is the experience of being loved. And it's not just his dreams and his hopes, you know. It's what he needs every day. He doesn't need to ask me for those things. I already know what they are. Bed to sleep in. Dinner. Clothes. I've got them covered. It's the same for our Heavenly Father and his love for us. It's a love beyond anything I can give to my kids. His love for me and for you. So why don't I reach out and grab his hand extended to me and trust him? Because that's what prayer is. It's that moment when I set aside the distractions and the things that are surrounding me and I meet my Heavenly Father. Why is it so hard to get to that moment and trust him? Well, I think it's because a lot of times we don't know what prayer is. We have this thought of it in our minds, getting something from God. And I think it's because also we don't really know who God is, the one that we're praying to. We think about him as kind of a last resort, someone we rely on when things start to fall apart for us. You know, like, I've got my own plans and dreams and things that I'm going to do in life and things that I'm going after, and I've got control of this. And then when things go horribly wrong and all the things that I thought I was going to be able to work out just don't happen, then I go to God for the bailout. That's prayer. A lot of times. Like rubbing a magic lamp, trying to convince him to come out, help me out, bail me out. But we don't expect a lot. when we do that, right? If you kind of go your own way and then all of a sudden you're like, wow, I'm in big trouble. I need help. We don't expect a lot. Like, oh, I'm gonna pray, maybe something happens, maybe not. A lot of times he just seems silent. We feel like he's not there when we need him in these moments. I've felt that way at times. Maybe you felt that way. Like he's far away, doesn't really care about what's important to you. But that can't be right, because you're his child. And he's not just a father. He's the model of every good and perfect thing any father could be. So Jesus, he wants to change the way we look at prayer. That's what we're going to look at today. To know the Father like he knew the Father, knows the Father. Come to him like he did in his ministry. Because he needed the Father's strength in his ministry every day to face the suffering that was ahead of him. He needed his Father. How can we do this without reaching out and grabbing our Father's hand and holding on tightly? How can we do it? Making our own plans and kind of doing our own thing. Well, we can't. That's the reality. We stumble, we fall, trying to do it on our own, and we never really end up that way, having the lives that he wanted for us. So Jesus, we're going to look to him today and his instruction on it. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. So let me set the scene for you. Jesus is delivering the Sermon on the Mount with crowds all around him. Okay, he's up on a hill, crowds. He's in a place acoustically where a large, large number of people can hear him very well. It's a message he's giving about the values of the kingdom, which should matter to us today, because they will matter when God reigns on earth. So they should matter to us now. That's what he's talking about. And then he reaches a section on prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, and he's going to say something about how pagans pray. People that don't worship the one true God, and saying we shouldn't pray like them. And he gives an example then of how we should pray. So it's a response to a misunderstanding, and it's just a general misunderstanding about prayer that he's correcting. And it's sometimes our misunderstanding. So we're going to start right where he explains it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. This is what he says. When you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. So you understand that a lot of world religions, they have chants, they have sayings, things they repeat over and over, sounds that they make. In Hinduism and Buddhism, it's called a mantra. They think there's spiritual powers in saying it, that something's going to happen, that they can change their reality by saying these things over and over. Repetition. It's no different in the paganism of Jesus' time. This is just the way that people think generally. This is kind of the way of religion as it stands. There's this same idea that there's power in what you say. When you need power, at that moment, you just say certain things. Or in the state of mind that these things bring to you. Some religions believe that. If you follow a formula, you can get what you want. That's prayer. But if the words themselves do it, awaken some power that you need, whether it's in a stone idol, or whether it's in nature, or whether it's in your subconscious, or even if you're thinking that's going to make God do what I want, that's no different than magic, really. That's all that is. And Jesus' warning here is that we shouldn't think of prayer this way, that it's about saying words to get what we want. It's not the words that you say that matter. It's who you are and who he is. That's what matters. That's what he's going to explain. So in verse 8, he says, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. See, it's simple. It's not about saying the right words to some impersonal God or force or idol or whatever to get what you want. That's the wrong way to think about it. It's that he's your Father, and he knows already what you need. That's the way to think about it. So then maybe you ask, well, why bother praying if God already knows what I need, right? Well, if you think about prayer that way, that's your understanding that it's a way to get something that you want, and that's all it is, then yeah, there's no real point to prayer. But that's not what prayer is. It's a moment when you reach out and he's there, your Father. And you meet him in your need because you know that he loves you and cares about what's on your mind. Not to get all the things you want, because you're not going to get all the things you want, but to draw near and experience his goodness and his love. Not from far away, but right there, right where you reach out. The idea of prayer as babbling words over and over, get what you want, that makes no sense for a child talking to their parent, right? Jesus is going to give us a contrast prayer. It's the simple prayer of a child to their loving Father, who's powerful above all. You know, and it makes you think of the later passage in Matthew 19, where Jesus tells them to let the little children come to him, for the kingdom belongs to such as these. You remember that story? People who can pray this way are people such as these, with that trust, simple trust. And our takeaway from Jesus' example here of prayer isn't the words themselves. That's not the point. It's what the words mean when we say them as his children. So how does prayer begin? I mean, how does it start? Okay, well, it's this simple. When my kids need me, you know, the first thing I hear is my name, right? When your kids need you, you hear your name. You know, and my name isn't Michael. My name is Daddy. That's my name. That's a special word in the Bible. In Jesus' time, the Aramaic word for daddy is Abba. That's what little children said, Abba. And that's an idea that's behind a lot of the Greek words that you read here for father. There's still that idea behind it. And sometimes the Aramaic word itself appears in the text, the actual Aramaic word, Abba. When Jesus is in Gethsemane, the night before he's crucified, and he prays, Father, not my will, but if it's your will, take this cup, let this cup pass from me. He calls his father Abba in that prayer. And Paul says in Romans 8:15 that by the Spirit we've received, we cry out in our need, Abba, Father. That's how we come to prayer. That's what Jesus is explaining. As we draw near in prayer, we say and we praise our Father's name. Here, verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. See, if you come to him as your father, you don't need to babble. Just need to say his name. Son or daughter doesn't draw a loving father's attention because they're repeating the same words over and over. I don't know if that works for you. That really bugs me when my kids do that. There's no point. A loving father, you know, we're listening from the moment our name is said. Our father responds to his children because he loves them. From the first word, we have his attention. And Jesus is making it clear. He says, our heavenly father. He's making it clear we're talking to our heavenly father. We're not talking about a father down here on earth. Earthly fathers are flawed, you know. They don't always manage their relationships with their kids the right way. I've made mistakes with my kids. It's because, you know, we're parents and we're sinners ourselves. Maybe some of you didn't have an earthly father who took good care of you. But he's not like earthly fathers in that way. He's perfect. He's holy. Nothing can block his love. Sin doesn't touch him, doesn't influence him, it doesn't turn him, it doesn't make him selfish, short-tempered. Holy means set apart from all these things in the world, impatience, harshness. He's none of that, your Father in heaven. So we don't just say his name, Father, we praise it. Holy is your name, Father. Because his name is who he has revealed himself to be in all of creation, his love. So the one we go to in prayer is not only our Father, but he's worthy of praise. That's how we start. And we can count on him to do what's holy and just and right and loving here on the earth and also in our lives as his children. So in contrast to the way a lot of times we think about prayer, Jesus shows us that in prayer, Next, we embrace our Father's plans and decisions. We embrace our Father's plans and decisions. We can't lead our kids if they're not on board with our plans and decisions, right? They do when they're little. You know, what we say, they agree with, they want for their lives. Then they get older, and a time always comes when they think they know better, and they head off their own way. And then sometimes years later, they'll come back around, and they'll listen again. But it can take a long while, right? And during the in-between time, what we often call teenage years, there can be a loss of trust. Doubt that our parents really know what they're talking about. I did that to my parents. My mom's right here. She can tell you this. There was a time when I was thinking, I'm not going to listen to anything you guys say. I probably even said that. Because you don't know what's right for me. Right? You guys don't know how to have fun. My buddies, they know how to have fun. You guys don't. So I'm calling the shots for myself. Right? And we do the exact same thing with God. In our culture, we have this big value called choice. It's a huge thing in our culture, and we think it's so important, and we're afraid that if we go God's way and go with His decisions, His will, we're giving up our choices. And we think, hey, I'm not going to be happy unless I have choices. Because see, I can sit at home now, and I can go to a website, and I can find anything I want to buy in the world at one website. And it's not like when we were kids and, you know, there were like 4 TV channels. Remember, a lot of us remember that? Now, I sit at my computer and there's a million things that I can watch. Why would I want to limit myself by letting God make the decisions? God doesn't know how to have fun, we think. He's going to make the wrong decision for me. I know it. Well, you know, it's because we want the next easiest step. And sometimes God draws us through difficult times on the path to who He wants us to be. And we want to choose the easiest step. So we have to pray. Not my will, God, but yours be done. To reach that day like a child would to their father that they trust. Verse 10, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will. I'm the child. It was the Lord Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane that night. Not my will, but yours, Father. You have to see beyond the troubles you're facing and the difficulties and patiently trust Him to bring you to the place that He wants you to be, to get to the greater thing that your Father has for you. You have to trust His decisions. And you'll never get there if you take the easy way out. No matter how many choices you have in this life or how few, only one matters. Only one, the one that's best for you. Nothing else matters. Our Father leads us to that. So when we go to Him in prayer, we go longing for His plan, not our plan, His rule. On earth and in our lives. In prayer, we agree with His plans and make them our plans, like a child would. Your hopes and dreams can't be blocked in your life if they're the same as His plans, because nothing can stop His plans. So you see yourself and your dreams as part of His greater plan, His kingdom, and nothing will stop it. My plans are going to fail, the ones I make up on my own, but not if I've seen them in the plans of my Father. So in prayer, we call for the plan to become a reality on earth. We wait to see it, and we make it our own. In prayer, our hearts become like our Father's. That's why we go there, to be like Him. Now also, in contrast to the way a lot of times we think about prayer, asking for all the things we want, Jesus shows us that in prayer, we ask for our Father's provision without worrying. That's what prayer really is. Not about getting what you want, but asking for His provision and not worrying. It's hard for me to stay focused on things right in front of me. Maybe you're like this. I'm always looking ahead. Something that's coming down the line, okay? It could be, gosh, I want things to be so much better and I'm dreaming about those things and what if my life was like this or that and how do I get to that? Or maybe I'm looking ahead and I'm worrying. Wow, this is going to be a big problem for me. And I start to get anxious about those things and what's going to come next. So I want to talk about both ideas there. You know, first, we're bombarded with pictures of the Hollywood life. You know, thinking, wow, I'd be so happy if I was a celebrity. You know, we see that. Deluged with that. I'd be so happy if I had so much more money. If I could buy that, you know, car, that house, if I had that, I'd be so happy. You know, Frank talked last week about praying to win the lottery. If you remember that. I can't imagine how happy I'd be if I won the lottery. I'm going to just tell you frankly, I'd be doing a dance up here right now. You know, and you'd be happy too, right? You'd be happy if you won the lottery. Yeah, absolutely you would. And you think, maybe you start to think, well, you know, God would want me to have that because He'd want me to be happy. You know, and it'd take a miracle. But He'd do that for us, right? We hope, maybe. So maybe we start praying for some of those good things. You know, I mean, maybe not the lottery. Maybe we think, okay, that's too much. But some good things. And my kids, they ask me for good things, sometimes expensive things. You know, my oldest daughter's 15. She wants a car this next year. I told her, you better start praying. You can bring anything to your Heavenly Father that you want, but He's only going to do one thing for you. One thing. And that's what's best for you. That's what He's going to do. And He's going to do it in His timing, in the right timing for you. A genie in a lamp will give you whatever you ask for, whether it's good for you or not. And I think it's probably not, if I remember the story right. But your Heavenly Father loves you too much to do that. As I was working on this and thinking, you know, the picture that jumped into my mind about this is Miley Cyrus. Okay, and some of you people know Miley. Others maybe not. She came from a Christian home. Dad, a country western singer. They got an opportunity to be on a Disney TV show, wholesome show, Hannah Montana show. I have kids, so I've seen all these shows, you know. And the dad thought probably at the time, what a blessing to my family. All this money and fame. And he helped his daughter reach the highest level of stardom, superstar, music superstar. And then he watched his daughter completely fall away. And you know, it was really difficult actually to find any photos of her with her clothes on. That's how bad it is. Tattoos and everything else going on in her life. Sexually explicit things in her shows. You know what he said in an interview? Yeah. He said, I wish it never happened, that we'd never been on that show. I was a bad parent, is what he said, to let that happen. As good as it seemed at the time and as happy as they were, the good parent doesn't give the child everything they want. The good parent gives them what they need, right? That's the Lord. He's the good parent in your life. The good father provides for his children. Provision is something that happens every day. It is meeting the needs you have today. That's your father. That's the reason we don't have to worry about the future either and what may happen. Our Father will provide for us every step as we get to the future, not worrying about it way ahead of time, but day by day as we live that life, the same as we do for our kids. My son, he doesn't come to me and he says, you know, Dad, I'm worried about the place you're going to have us living next year. You know, are you going to have enough money for us to live in a nice place? Or, you know, are we going to have enough money for dinner next year? Or what about, you know, your car transmission problems? You know, are you going to be able to drive me around? Because I'm worried about that. You know, he doesn't worry about that. He doesn't even know about that, that he should worry. And he doesn't have to. I've got him covered. Place to sleep, food to eat. He doesn't ever have to worry. And it's the same with our Heavenly Father. And we have to think that way. silly to doubt that his love for us wouldn't be even beyond anything that we'd have for our kids. There's no point in asking for anything that isn't good for us, really. And there's no point in worrying about what he'll provide. He loves you too much to worry about either of these things. He's got you covered. So verse 11, Jesus says, this is how you pray, give us today our daily bread. That's all you need to ask for. What you need today. And we don't ask because we're worried. We ask for it because he's already going to give it to us. Just like my son asked for his dinner. Not like he thinks I'm not going to get it. But because I'm the one that provides for him, his loving father. Not because he's worried. Jesus, later in the chapter, he comes back to this topic, just later down in the same chapter in the Sermon on the Mount, explains this a little bit more, what he means by daily bread. He says, verse 31, so do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And you know, your Father will be there right with you in the middle of whatever that is. So we don't need to worry. We need to go to our Father every day. That's prayer. And as adults, you know, we overthink and we worry. But we don't come to him like that. Like children, we can trust because we're loved. So next, in contrast to the way a lot of times we think of prayer, Jesus is explaining, in prayer, we find forgiveness for our failures. That's what prayer is about. Because we need that. And our Heavenly Father, you know, he's holy. We've just talked about that. He has no involvement in all the corruption that you see in the world. That's not him. We're used to it. We're surrounded by it. It's modeled to us. We're even comfortable with a lot of it. We become comfortable with a lot of the stuff out in the world, a lot of the sin. He has no part of it. He has no part in the sexual immorality that we see acted out all over our culture. The harm that we cause other people, unkindness, lies, dishonesty, betrayal. He stands apart. He's holy. We live in this gray zone a lot of times, in a state where we compromise. Maybe we feel like we have to because we're worried about how things are going to work out, so we kind of got to, you know, work things a little bit or make ourselves happy. Oh, it's okay. God doesn't mind too much. I'm off doing this thing. It's a little bit, you know, kind of out of bounds, but he's okay with this. He wants me to be happy. Maybe we think these things aren't a big deal to him, that he's okay with our compromises, but it's not true. He's not in that gray zone. He calls his children out of it into his holy presence. He wants his children to be like him, like every father, loving father. And that's what happens in prayer. He's calling you out, away from those things. So when we come to him, if we want to experience him and his presence and his power, we have to leave our sins behind. We can't draw near to him if we won't give it up. He's holy. We can bring it to him, but then we have to let it go in prayer. And if you're not ready to do that, whatever it is, you probably won't find yourself praying a whole lot or have that experience of being drawn into his presence, having him be right there for you. So Jesus says, verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So he's talking about sins as debts. The word debt means shortcoming. What God expects of his children is the same holiness he has. In our failure, we come up short. That's a debt. All of us do. Every one of us. And we need his forgiveness for that. And that's why we come to him in prayer. To be restored and connected to him. And he also adds here, Jesus adds, as we have also forgiven our debtors. So if that sounds like we're forgiven on the condition that we've forgiven other people who have failed us or hurt us, then you're reading it correctly. That's exactly what he means. And he explains it right after the end of this prayer that he offers us in verse 14. He explains this just so there's no misunderstanding. He says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." You can't bring your unforgiveness to him any more than any other sin. He's not about lies, he's not about betrayal, and he's not about unforgiveness. Maybe most of all, you need to let it go. That's what Jesus is saying. When people wrong you, they hurt you, they fail you, you need to be like your Father, and you need to think of them as children. Show them mercy. That's what he's saying. And be washed clean. That's why we pray. Another reason we pray, we come to him, and the way we need to think of prayer is to come to him when we need help. Because a child sometimes comes to their father for help when they fail. In prayer, we seek our Father's help in the challenges that life brings us. Last year, Dylan was talking to me, and he says, "Dad," my son, he says, "Dad, one day, will you help me get a girlfriend?" I said, "Well, I'll help you understand how to be a good friend, which is how you get a girlfriend." I said, "But actually, I think that when we get close to that time, you're not going to need my help at all." But I loved it that he asked me, because he's already thinking ahead to some challenge that he's going to have in his life, and he knows that I'm going to be there, and he wants to make sure that I'm going to help him with that, right? He's thinking ahead to those challenges. No matter what life throws at us, we're going to need help when we get there. You can't predict what's going to happen in your life, what you're going to face, what your needs are going to be. None of us know the help we're going to need one day when things get really difficult for us. But love's not just about pointing someone in the right direction. It's about walking together with them when life goes badly, and it always does. Our Father's not some distant spirit who just gives us advice. "Here's a book, read it. This is how you live your life." A stone idol that you rub and, you know, hope protects you at some future point. He's someone who will be there at that moment that you need his help, because he's your Father. Life presents us with tests, challenges. Tests are things that we face where we can either trust God or do it our own way. Am I going to trust God, or am I going to do what I think is right? The word test or testing in Greek is the same word as temptation. It's the same exact word. So it's just a question of how you want to translate it. And a temptation is just really another way of thinking about a testing. Because a testing can go wrong for you, right? It can pull you in a wrong direction if you don't choose God's way. It's a time when you feel pressure not to trust God. And some of the tests are the allure of sin. Am I going to do this, you know, some selfish way or some sinful way? And some are challenges in life when things are hard and we're desperate. We need a way out. When we experience disappointment or loneliness and our plans fail. But as his children, we have a decision. Will we trust our Father? So we're going to find ourselves tested as we follow God's leading. As we follow God's leading in this life, we're going to have tests. We're going to have temptations. Jesus faced temptation on the way to the cross. He was following the Father's leading, but he felt temptation along the way. And we're not alone either. He wasn't alone. We're not alone. Prayer is that moment where we reach out and we receive his power and deliverance from whatever we're facing. So Jesus says in verse 13, this is how we pray: "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Well, here's how I read this. "Don't lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, but when I'm there," because I am going to be at times, we all are, "deliver me from it. I don't have to be afraid because you're with me. You guide me." God's the deliverer of his children from evil. He gives us the strength to face any challenge in life when we come to him at the moment we need it, to pass through that test. Every day, it's some new difficulty, right? You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Some loss, some disappointment, but he's going to be there when you reach out to him. That's prayer. Prayer is where you go for his strength and his power to deliver you. So you have to be there. And you know that he'll be there waiting. He'll be there, your father, every day in your need, whatever you face. You know, one day I'm not going to be here anymore for my kids. So I've introduced them to their heavenly father, who will never leave them, who loves them and will help them. But not just them, you, me, all of us. In our pain, in our need, he reaches out to us, our holy and loving Father. If we'll just set aside the distractions and reach out and grab his hand, set aside our worry, meet him in prayer, trust him no matter what life brings us, because we're loved. Our dreams and our plans, we put them in his hands and grab onto him. That's what prayer is, that moment of love and worship and trust, the moment of a child resting in the arms of their father. That's prayer. So your father is reaching out to you today to meet you in the middle of whatever you're facing in your life, whatever you're dealing with, to draw you into his holy presence today, to wash you clean of your sins, to lead you in the plans he has for your life that can never fail. He wants you to come to him as his child and to trust him. That's what Jesus is explaining. How we do that. What our experience is. If you're not experiencing his presence, if you're not getting the strength that you need today, seeing his power in your life, today's the day that you meet him, take his hand, and grab, hold. Set aside whatever it is that's keeping you from him. So as I pray now, I'm going to pray and close. I want you to just hold your hands out and just let go of whatever it is that's keeping you from being in that place. Father, our Father in heaven, your name's holy and perfect and loving. Lord, we hold up our plans and, Lord, accept your will for our life and for this world and want you to rule here the way you do in heaven and in our lives, Lord, completely. Lord, provide for our needs today. And Jesus, Lord, walk with us. Help us through difficulties in our lives. Wash us clean of our sins and our failures the same way that we let people off the hook that have hurt us so badly, knowing that they're your children also. Lord, bring us through difficult times. Cause us to keep our eyes on you. Our Father, we trust you completely. In your name, amen. The Spirit of God is here, and he's drawing you to your Father. So I'm just going to pray right now, quick closing prayer, that today is a day where we rush into our Father's arms, into his embrace. Lord, thank you for this morning. Jesus, thank you for this incredible worship. We pray for your blessings on Stephanie and Chip, Lord, and the life that you have ahead for them, traveling safety, Lord, for them, and blessing on the ministry that you will open before them in the years that are coming. And Jesus, today, help us, teach us how to pray, to meet our Father, simply express our love and our needs, give up the things that are holding us back, Lord, so that we can meet him and get his power and his presence as we work through all the difficult things that life is going to bring us, knowing that we're not alone. In your name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.